Gamerheads Podcast is part of the Little Fellow Media Podcast Network, sponsored by podcast host Budsprout, the easiest podcasting software for hosting, promoting, and tracking your podcast. Hey everybody, it's Roger here. A couple weeks ago, we had Red, the well-read mage, on our show, and we had a discussion that kind of went down a rabbit hole, but it was talking about narratives and video games. And while we didn't include it into our full episode because we thought it kind of would have made the episode really long, we did think, though, that this was good enough material to have as a separate bonus episode. So that's what we're doing here. I'm going to be sharing with you the conversation that we had with Red and the discussion that we had about narratives and video games. So enjoy.
I thought the other day, I think it was like a waking thought too, of like a clickbait style headline that, I don't do clickbait, so I'm not going to use it, but it was just something like, video games do not tell good stories, they tell different ones. The point being that the way in which video games tell their stories and the nature of video games themselves sometimes prevent them from telling good stories as we would think of good stories to be. But when a game has a good story, it's typically when it takes advantage of its own nature as a game. So It's like, you know, you play some games that have really great stories that are interrupted by all this parenthetical stuff, like, you know, quests and mini-map icon hunting and world building, reading articles like Wikipedia sized articles on like history and stuff like that, and you're like, this is not how you tell like a story with tension or pace or things like that. That'd be like if you were reading, well, a perfect example, Moby Dick. Like halfway through the book, it's just like, hey, now we're gonna give you chapters about how whale oil is used in all these products. And you're like, yeah, but I don't care because I'm following characters.
Oh, yeah. Not to go down a buddy trail. Old authors love to do that stuff.
That's why you read
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
That's why you read abridged versions of the classics.
Oh, abridged versions are such a
gift. So then the question is, in 20 years or so, are we going to have abridged versions of these games that stumble over their own feet and trying to tell their story because they say aim for too much ambition, too much world building, or too much NPC interaction, or just meaningless things? Like, you know, I'm about to reach what I sense is a climax for this act in the game, and now I have to go get crafting materials. Like, it's two different kinds of fun, right? Because going and getting the crafting materials is fun in its own way, but it doesn't actually move the story along. Even if they put a cutscene after you get all the crafting materials, you still had to actually stop the story development to go and do all these, this, you know, digging around in dirt for mushrooms. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, it's interesting. It's storytelling has been around, you know, as long as humans have been around, and then trying to combine them with this new medium of video games is still very new. We're still very much learning how to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's exciting. It's not something that I mentioned to sort of bag on video games. Sometimes people ask me, they're like, do you like anything? I was like, of course I do.
Of course I do. Oh my god, Red, people ask me that,
right?
Well,
it's because you think critically about a subject, and people are not prepared to think critically, especially about entertainment.
No, just shut up and let people enjoy
Yeah, things. Right. Shush that meme. Shush and let people enjoy.
God, I hate
it's
that.
It's like meme. Shush and let like people actually critique products so you get better products. But there's two different kinds of enjoyment, and I don't begrudge people for choosing one or the other. Sometimes you go and watch a movie, or you read a book, or you play a game, and you just want to be in that world immersed and not have to think about it and not have to think about what works and what doesn't, and that's fine. But then it's also fine to do those activities and play those things and think about them in interesting ways and think about what works and what doesn't, think about the craft of it all. So I think that video games are a fascinating medium, especially in the potential that they have. There are games that really embrace the interactivity as part of the development of the story. And there are other games that just get in their own way as games. They try to be too much like movies. That's an interesting thing, right? Like I was talking with a game professor from Brazil who was saying one of the most insulting things you could say about games is that they're cinematic. Because if you think about it, okay. I was like, well, I mean, that's an interesting statement. At first, I was like, what are you saying? But she meant that you're essentially saying this, that all of games led up to them just being like movies, as much like movies as possible. So that, you know, the more like a film games are, the better is the assumption. And so, like, what are you valuing film above games? Like, but they're separate art forms, right? So I get the point that's being made there. Certainly cinematic scenes in games are cool, but I don't think that it should be a goal of game development as a whole to just try and make games more like movies, because they're not. They're not movies. Yeah. So.
You know, it's interesting because I know you mentioned before that you're not a big fan of MMOs, and in I will say DC Universe is not probably the best example of an MMO.
It's not the only one I've played either, but it was the last straw for sure.
But one thing that I do, the ones that I have played, the ones that I've enjoyed, I should say, it's because we were creating, like, there's quests, obviously, there's things you have to go on, but we were creating the story as a group, as the clan. And I think that's why a lot of people like games like Fortnite too. There's no story to Fortnite. It's just things happen, right? But you're creating your own story with your own friends. And in I know a lot of times people are saying, oh, those games have no story, there's nothing to them. But there is a story. The story is about, you know, your the things that you're going through with your group. I mean, when I played this game called Dark Age of Camelot back in college. It was an MMO game. And, you know, they had side quests. They had quests that we had to go on, and they were fun. But it was the battles that we had. It was player versus player. And it was battles that we had and things that happened in those battles. And I wanted to write a whole fantasy novel about it because it was fantastic. It was awesome. Things that happened, the interactions that happened in the clan with each other was crazy. Like, people would get into big fights about things. I mean, you kind of talk about that too in the DC Universe Online. Yeah. But that's where the story is driven from. It's not, you know, the story that the game wants you to learn about, but it's the story that you have with each other. And it's an interesting twist on storytelling in games.
I really love that point. I think that it hits on something that I've suspected for a while, which is when people say, oh, that game has no story. A lot of the times, well, I usually try and ask questions when people make an assertion like that. And a lot of the times it seems like what they mean is this game does not have highly complex cutscenes like your average AAA. Mm. Therefore, it doesn't have a story. It doesn't have voice acting, doesn't have drama, it doesn't have, you know, facial mapping, it doesn't have all these complex, highly expensive technologies in it. And so they say it doesn't have a story. But I like the idea of what you're saying there. There's like, you're kind of creating your own story playing with your friends. Your experience with the game then becomes the story. Right. It's when that experience is just you picking mushrooms for 17 hours because you're trying to like grind for a gold ingot so you can get the ultimate weapon, to where that story becomes something you don't want to experience. But certainly, I mean, I can think of like a game like Hyper Light Drifter does not have anything close to a resemblance to AAA games in terms of how it presents its story. No dialogue. And all that, no voice acting, sure. But it has its own story in its own fashion, and it presents it in its own way. So I think, again, there's a lot of potentiality for games to continue to explore how to tell stories with what's available with gaming technology. And it's not necessarily that they all have to follow this. You know, you have cutscenes and the cutscenes tell the story, or you have dialogue and the dialogue tells the story. But there's a lot of interesting things that people can do with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of, I think Mike is not a big fan of Journey, but the game Journey, I mean, I think that's a good example too, where there's no dialogue. I mean, even your characters that talk to each other, it's just a bunch of bleeps and whatever. But there is a story there. There's a shared experience, a shared story that you have. And I actually had, I didn't cry, but
yeah,
not that I'm against crying. I didn't cry. but I mean, there, at the end, I was like, wow, that was, you know, kind of powerful. I went through this journey with other people and, you know, there's some parts of that can be related to real life.
And that's a game that kind of uses its core gameplay to tell its story, right? Because it's kind of about discovery and exploration. And that's actually what you're doing. But by giving you a goal, reach this mountain, everything that is in between that, including the world building cutscenes, is part of the narrative that you're crafting as you're playing the game.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a game that's real well done. I finished it and I had like this like quasi religious experience, like just like in awe of its majesty. But yeah, it's such a brief example. It's like a candle in a dark cave, and the cave is monumental in size, but it's one example.
Yeah. Cool. we went down a rabbit hole there, didn't we? Well, thank you for listening to that extra material. And you can always find new episodes of Gamerheads right on our website at gamerheadspodcast.com or wherever you get your podcast. All right, until next week, we'll see you. Bye-bye.